We welcome you to the Media Ministries of the Gathering Church in the Countryside YMCA of Mainville. As we love the Lord and each other, we're trusting that God would use us to plant a church in every YMCA around the world. To this end, would you join us? We meet on Sundays at 10 a.m. and in community groups throughout the week. As you listen to this resource, our prayer is that your love for Jesus would grow deep and your love for others would be seen and heard.
Last week, we started the study of the soils. And I shared with you about the first time that Hannah and I bought a house where a guy took me alongside, put his hand on my shoulder, and he gave me the expectations of what it would be like to care for a house and to take care of the land. He said, "This isn't North Texas anymore." That's where we bought our first house. "You're going to have to water. You're going to have to, aerate the soil. You're going to have to fertilize it." And still, if you do all that, you need to know these expectations. You still might not get green grass, right? And we said, in the same way, Jesus took us by the shoulder, took us aside and said, "Hey, if you want to care for my house, and if you want to work the field of God, you're gonna turn the soil, but you're going to need to know that there's going to be different reactions. I want to settle your expectations that they all won't be cheerful." He said, some are going to reject the word, and then some are going to accept it. And that's the message that we're seeing in these soils. Expectations is a big deal, is it not? Hannah and I, we take a class at the Y each week, and it's called Core Cardio. And I remember this week we were walking up to our class, and I said, "Oh, I hope our teacher doesn't make us do sit-ups." And she said, "Sweetheart, what's your expectations that they would hand out cinnamon rolls at this class at Core Cardio?" And I was like, "You're right. Expectations need to be adjusted a little bit, right?" Same kind of thing. Walking into, what was that crack about cinnamon rolls? Yeah, the same thing, walking into the field of God. And we also saw what unlocks the meaning of this passage, the key that'll open up this door to understanding, where Jesus tells the parable, he talks about the soils. The latter half, 13 through 20 in chapter 4, explains the soils and their meaning. And right in the middle, he says this secret to the kingdom. That's how he phrases it. And he says, he quotes Isaiah. And we went last week back in Isaiah and we looked at it. And the context was that this was a people who had ears, but they willingly did not hear. They had eyes, but they willingly refused to see the truths of God. And so Jesus, by quoting Isaiah, was saying, right now, I'm telling you guys, hey, disciples, and hey, church, right now is the times of the soils, where people are willingly going to reject the seed of God's word. And some are going to accept it. And this is the field of God, and I want to set your expectations. If you left last week, and last week we just covered soil 1 and 2, if you left last week going, "Man, is there any hope for soil 1 and 2? Or are we just to like kind of shrug our shoulders and go like this with our hands and go, well, I guess that's just the way they are. I guess that's just the way I am. I guess I just have a hard heart. Or I guess like those are the cards that I was dealt." We got to go, "No way! No way! There is a great opportunity for you, if you found yourself in soil 1 or soil 2, for you to go, you know what? Forgiveness is offered to all who come." And that is such good news for the church, isn't it? It's such good news for anyone that if you repent of your sins and place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you are met not with sarcasm, not with this, "Ugh, I'm so annoyed, but finally," or like some sort of attitude. No, you are met with open arms and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. And that's the good news of the gospel. And so, if you know someone that's a soil one or two, it's great news for them as well. And so, here we go. Soils three and four today. And since last week we said, hey, these soils, just for us to remember and have fun with it, these soils are heart conditions. They're like real people. We're going to go ahead and give them names, okay? Soil one, does anyone remember what the soil, what we called it? It was Willie. And what did Willie do? He waited. That's right. It wasn't his fault, says everybody. The birds came down and they snatched up. Well, according to the Isaiah passage, these guys are rejecting God. So Willie was a waiter, okay? Soil number two, shallow soil. Anyone remember what his name was? Rocky, that's right. Rocky had a hard heart. As soon as the sun came up, which was trials, affliction, on account of the word, it says, Rocky shriveled away. And the word immediately was used. And it says, on account of the word, he hated it. He was embarrassed by the things of God. He's like, ugh, I don't like it. And his heart was hard. And it was that in that way that he rejected God. All right, so let's go ahead and let's meet our third soil. So we're going to continue with the title of accept or reject. And as you are studying these, that's your question. Am I like this? Am I accepting? Am I going to receive the word like the fourth soil? And we'll get to it. Or am I going to reject God in this way? So accept or reject. Let's meet our third soil. His name, Thorny Thomas. Thorny Thomas, meet me in Mark 4, verse 18. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. So our guy Thomas, he hears the word, he knows the truth, but he is caught up. And what is he caught up in? What does the text say? In the cares of the world. He's so enamored with other things that he is proved. His assessment is that he's ineffective. He's unfruitful. There's a casualness for Thomas towards the things of God, towards spiritual things. Yet, Thomas's heart comes alive when fantasy football is talked about. When grade point averages are discussed, his eyes become wide with excitement. When Black Friday is coming, that's on his calendar a couple of times, and he's thinking about it, and he just can't wait. And then when Cyber Monday was invented, oh my goodness, he was so excited about Cyber Monday, right? Those are the things that are nearest to Thomas. And again, just to frame it, Thomas is rebelling towards God. He's rejecting him by loving other things. Sometimes, friends, it plays out really clearly in life. Probably the clearest biblical example that I can think of is from 2 Timothy 4. You don't have to go there. But Paul is hanging out with this guy named Demas. And Demas leaves things. And it says literally that he left because he was in love with this present world. Demases, they exist in the field of the Lord as you're seeking to advance God's kingdom. But sometimes it isn't always that clear. Why? Why? Because thorns move slowly. They creep in. And if you've ever seen or like if you've ever taken care of a garden, you know there's going to be weeds, and it's not just all of a sudden there's weeds and they're all of a sudden 2 feet tall, they slowly creep up and they slowly choke out the life of a plant. You see, unlike Rocky, where Mark uses the word immediately, we see the time factor play out with Thomas in the opposite way, slowly. Thomas, it could play out like this. Thomas, maybe he got a nice big old bonus at work. And things have been a little boring around the house. Hey, he lives right next to the lake. So Thomas, he prays to God and he says, Lord, like, thank you for this bonus. I'm going to tithe off of it, and then the money left over, I'm going to buy a boat. He even opened up the Bible. He's looking at the scriptures. He's even in the book of Mark. And he sees that Jesus once was on a boat. And so he concludes that Jesus likes boats and I should have a boat too. Which is interesting thought, you know? But if Jesus used them and he was on them and he even used them for ministry, maybe I could have a boat and I could use it for ministry and I could serve others. And I mean, let's just pause for a second. There's a bunch of pretty good things going on in Thomas's life. He's praying, church. He's opening up the word. Now his interpretation isn't like awesome, but he's like kind of doing stuff in here, you know? He's thinking about serving others. Disclaimer, it is not a sin to buy a boat. Okay? Don't take that from me. No emails, all right? You can buy an RV, that's fine. It's okay to have nice golf clubs, okay? But listen to the turn of the story. Over time, Thomas starts putting more energy and effort into his boat rather than the things of God. He gets really excited about the weekend coming. I mean, he is just living for Saturday to take out that boat. He would never say, I have decided to follow the things of the boats instead of Jesus. He would never say, I have decided to reject all things that God has told me to do. And I'm going to disobey him by neglecting X, Y. He would never say that. That's not how he rolls. But Thomas, he had a hard week at work. It was really heavy. Some guys got laid off. And Friday night, he's coming home. And guess what? The water heater goes out on the second floor. And he's like, oh, why did I buy a house with a water heater on the second floor? And it leaks through the ceiling. And it goes all into like the electronics and TV room. And so he's so mad. All Saturday, his plans get thwarted. And he's ripping out drywall and calling insurance and things like that. And he's so exhausted. He's like, oh, I just need a break. Right? And so then he starts thinking in his mind, you know, I'm just gonna go out on my boat tomorrow. Sunday, like, I just need a break. And besides, I'm gonna worship the Lord where he's intended to be worshiped, in nature. Now, Colorado pastors struggle with this all the time. People are like, man, I'm gonna go up on the mountain for worship this morning, right? Sunday happens. He wakes up in the morning and he's like, should I go? Should I not go? And he's like, well, you know what? There's a whole lot of babies at church and all those diapers, man. And you know what? All those chairs, I'm not gonna do that. It's like, and you know, Thelma, I know that old lady, I know she's struggling, but man, her breath, right? If she could just go in the back and get a mint, every once in a while, things would be a little bit easier to serve this little widow, okay? And so I think I just need it. I just would like to have some time. So he takes out his boat. And the thorns start coming. Because the next week, Thomas is out of town. visiting family, and then the next week his motor goes out. And so he's at the shop, and he has to go, quote unquote, on Sunday morning. He's got to go, he's got to be there to take care of his boat so that he can one day, like, serve others. And so you start to see slowly, slowly, week after week, these thorns start creeping in and choking out the life of Thorny Thomas. Again, you can get to a point of false empathy, or you could say misguided compassion, where you're like, it wasn't his fault that the motor went out, and poor guy, his drywall, and this and that. But at the end of the day, we've got to be true to the scriptures to say that this guy is choosing decision after decision after decision, and slowly the thorns of life start to choke him out. And it's not the thorns' fault. Jesus is saying today to us that he's in love with the things of the world, and he's distracted and caught up in all the other things, it says. Thorny Thomas is failing to realize that God gave him that bonus. He's failing to realize that God gave him and is continuing to give him the ability to work. He provided for the boat. And Thomas, he doesn't turn and give thanks to God with his heart and with his hands. He just takes the boat and slowly, slowly just turns away. That's what we're seeing from the life of Thomas. Wealth, my friends, can be a great blessing. It can be. Wealth can be used for great things of God. It can also be a great challenge. The more you have, the more you have to manage. Wealth can be a great tool for the kingdom, but it also can be used inappropriately, and it can be a lure to draw men and women away from the things of God. Thomas is so busy with his boat, he doesn't have, or better said, he doesn't give of his time anymore to serve. He doesn't have, better said, he doesn't give of his time anymore to disciple that young guy who's hungry to grow. He doesn't have, better said, he doesn't, you get the idea. This is where it's at. Do you see today, third soil, Thorny Thomas, do you see the slow decline of Thomas? You see it? Do you see the thorns choking this guy out? Well, let me ask you a question. So far, we've looked at soil 1, 2, and 3, Willie, Rocky, and Thomas, okay? And you might be thinking so far, like, come on, people. Like, what's the deal? What's with all the rejection? And really deep in your heart, what we're starting to wonder is, and as you see the consistency in these soils, you're seeing, wait a second, the seed is the same in all of them. Maybe, just maybe, the problem is not them, but it's the seed. Maybe it's the Word of God. Maybe he should try something else, or maybe he should get a smoke machine, or maybe the worship pastor should, like, wear holes in his jeans more and do more, like, electric guitar stuff. Maybe that would win the heart and make it more palatable for the heart to receive God's word. Or maybe it's just the word in itself. It's offending. It's not working. That's what you're saying. And friends, church, let me just assure you that the seed is not the problem. Let me just read to you a couple verses from the scriptures. Here we go. So will my word, which goes out from my mouth, it will not return to me empty. It's a promise. Listen to this one. Every word of God is flawless. It is a shield to those who take refuge in him. I love that one. For the word of God is right, and all his work is trustworthy. Whew, that's offensive to everyone who thinks there's not a right and wrong anymore. The Word of God is right, right? Check out this one. We know this church, we know this verse well. So faith comes through hearing, and hearing by the Word, right? We know this one. All Scripture, every word of it, all Scripture is inspired by God. And, it is useful. It's profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness. Why? So that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And here's one more. This is from 2 Timothy. And you know that from childhood you have known the sacred scriptures, which, I love this verb, which are able. The scriptures are able to give you wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? Church, the word, the seed, the message of the gospel works. It really does. It is able, and we're called to use it. Let's look at the fourth response, the fourth soil. Let's meet a new friend. His name is Frank, Fruitful Frank. Meet me in verse 20. And those are the ones on whom seed was sown on the good soil. And they hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. If you and I were eating Mexican right now out to lunch, I'd be making my fajita, and I would ask you, hey, what are the three things that the fourth soil does? And I would take a big bite, and then I would just wait for you to answer that question. Okay? What are the three things according to the scriptures? He what? He hears the word, he? And then he? Nice job. So he hears it. He doesn't just listen to it, but he hears it. It would be the image that we've used before in this church of the Word of God not being held at face level so as to fight with it, not down at your feet so as you stand on top of it in authority over it. It would be that this guy hears it and he's under it. He continually puts himself under it. It marks his time, his calendar. It is a value in his life. He wants it. And whatever it says, he's going to hear it. And then he's going to, next one is he accepts it. Similar to the Bereans in Acts 15, they received God's word. It says here that this fourth soil accepts it. A little grammar for you. The word used is paradekomai. Okay? It's in the present tense, indicating that it's not just this one time, oh yeah, I accepted the word, but it's a continually ongoing acceptance. There's a willingness. There's a favorability to it. Like you're drawn to it. You want it. There's a readiness, a deliberateness to it. It's also, I know I'm going to geek out a little bit here, but it's also in the reflexive form, which means that when Fruitful Frank is listening to it, his first nudge is not this. See, you should be listening to that. His first nudge is reflexive. It's to himself. He readily applies it to himself first. We could use this image that this guy puts out the welcome mat to God's word. And he continually does it. And not only this, not only he just hears it and accepts it as truth, but he bears fruit. Which is not, honestly, it's not always easy to measure when a person is bearing spiritual fruit. Like when a person is growing, it's not always easy to see. I think we could easily say, what does this mean to bear fruit? It's like, Galatians says the fruit of the Spirit. And so this guy, as he's hearing it and he's accepting the word, that he slowly is growing and he's having a love for others. He's a peaceful guy. Not all the time, but he's growing in a settled, content peace. He's marked by patience. Kindness is his pattern of life. Sure, he can blow it every once in a while with his kids, but like overall, he's seeking this trajectory of the Lord, which sends him on a trajectory of kindness. Goodness is his way. Faithfulness is his aim. Gentleness towards others is his prayer. Self-control is the outcome as he submits himself to the Spirit. After all, these things are the fruit of the Spirit. This is what the Spirit produces in the life of a person. Again, on the note of time, and this is good for us to hear as this church, soil 1 and 2, whoop, immediately. Oh, the seeds came, snatched up. Rocky, boom, sufferings, he's out of there. Third soil, slow. Fourth soil, spiritual fruit doesn't come overnight. Just like the third soil in the trajectory of sin, those decisions, they don't happen overnight. Fruitful Frank, he doesn't immediately bear fruit the size of a large watermelon. But it does take time. It takes perseverance. It takes endurance or a steadfastness or a long suffering to reject the destructive temptations of soil 1, soil 2, soil 3. And it necessitates the Holy Spirit's work in a person's life. Let me just say it. This should be very comforting for you. Fruitful Frank is not perfect, but he's growing progressively towards Christ. And so, in the words of Jesus, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear. If your heart has been opened by the things of God, if you've heard the gospel, and if your eyes have been given the ability to see now the wonderful truths of God, then your life will be sent on this trajectory that desires to follow God. That's the basic mark of a Christian. Are they hungry for it? Do they want it? Do they seek after it? It's not really their own work. It's the Holy Spirit working it. That's his job. He makes them holy. Let's just get a little bit more specific, though. If you are the fourth soil, here's the question. What is it really that Jesus is asking of or telling the fourth soil to do or be like? Let's spend some time and turn over this soil so that we know. Like, he accepts the truth of God's word. He responds to it. Which verse? Is it all of them? Is it especially some of them? And how does he do that? And I don't think we have to make this like too difficult or complicated. And so let me just tell you two things that I think we could summarize this guy's life by, okay? He, one, grows in the Word, and then two, he sows with the Word. He grows in the Word, and then he sows with the Word. Let me illustrate the first one, okay? He grows in the Word. Some of you have heard of the guy named Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He was a pastor during the time of World War II, Hitler, Nazi Germany type stuff. He was the guy who tried to assassinate Hitler because of his deep convictions on Hitler's evil, okay? Failed the assassination, but was sent in prison. And at some point in his life, he was given the opportunity to bear fruit during the war, and he said, I'm gonna just like spend my life to bear fruit by training pastors during this time. I'm gonna multiply my life into others. And so he got around 30 pastors, and they moved towards him, and so he started training them, and he said, for every day, pastors, 30 of them, I want you to spend 30 minutes in God's word alone. And I don't want you to get up, move around, and do other things until you've found one thing to apply to your life. until you've met God in the scriptures and experienced him and found something to either give him praise or to follow him and do, I don't want you to move. And all the pastors are like, okay, I mean, that sounds kind of VBS-ish, right? Like, have a quiet time, you're saying, Dietrich? Okay, but we'll go for it. And about a month and a half in, out came the complaints, okay? And they were like, hey, Dietrich, we came here to learn and read, like, serious theological books. Like, where's the 1,000-pager? We want the commentaries. We want to read all the old dead guy stuff that makes us really smart. And he's like, nope, you're just going to read the Bible, and you're going to be trained by it, and you're going to respond to it and apply to it. And he said this. Let me see if I can find it. Ready? You must know and experience the God you preach and teach about first. And it's the same thing with us. If we want to be used by God in the lives of others, if we want to know God, we must know and experience him first through his word. We must have this deep conviction and this, like, you know what? My anchor is in God, and I know that his word is good, it is right, and it's sufficient for all things life and godliness. We've got to be in it. In order to grow from it, we've got to make it a part of our lives. Christ, he was awesome at this. He was the best. He was unmatchable. If we just took a quick survey of his life, like early in his, right before he went into his public ministry, he went off and he was tempted by Satan. And how did he argue against Satan? It is written. And you know what book he quoted from? Deuteronomy. Man, that guy was smart, right? He quoted Deuteronomy. He used the word of God to fight off temptation. When he was doing his ministry and he was talking with disciples and Pharisees and Sadducees, often we would hear him ask them, have you not read? When Jesus was on the cross, we read each of the gospel accounts, we see him quoting the Psalms. The word of God was on our Savior's lips all the time. He loved it. He cherished it. He needed it. So, to grow spiritually, how do you do that? If you came in here and you're like, I don't know what my expectations are about church. You know, I went last year. Or I went on Easter or Christmas. I wonder what they talk about in here. And maybe you just had this like fracture of an idea. I bet you they talk about how to grow spiritually. Growing spiritually can be summarized like this. You can say, hey, read, then pray, then obey. Some of you guys are like, just tell it to me, Newman. Just tell me how it is. Like, give me a simple way to live the Christian life. Well, read, pray, and then go do it. Obey, right? And in this fourth soil, I think we could add even a little bit more. We could say read and pray and obey. And we see that obedience is actually sharing. And so it can look like read, pray, obey. Share. Tell others what you read. Let me tell you the second one. So the first one was that he grows from the word. This is fruitful, Frank. The second one is that he sows with the word. Last week, we saw the parable that Jesus, he called the parable not the parable of the soils, but he called it the parable of the sower and the what? That's right. And so our job would be not just to receive and not just to grow and keep our mouth shut, but our job is to be a sower of the seed of God's word. Just to keep you guys current with community group growth. And for instance, like a couple weeks ago, we met as a community group and we split up in guys and girls. And it was right after that message on marriage. And it was Jesus and family. We talked about marriage. And so the guys, we looked at Ephesians 5. That was one of the passages that was preached on. And we said, well, let's read it together. We read it and it said, by washing our wives with the word of God. And we said, and some of you remember this, what do you think that means? We said, well, I don't know, what do you think it means? And, well, I guess it has something to do with the word, something to do with our wife, and then we like wash them with it. How about, and this was the challenge that we pitched out for us guys, and I'm telling you this to indirectly kind of, but directly say, hey guys, this is a great way to lead your wives. How about we read God's word and then we share it with our wives this week? Isn't that a great idea? How about we wash them with the word? Ever since that challenge, I've seen that Hannah is actually has washed me more than I've washed her. She's continually in God's word and sharing it. And it was really good. What if marriages, husbands and wives, what if all the husbands in here made that commitment today to always share what they read from God's word with their wife? I have a question for you, and I think I know the answer. The answer, I think, is going to be yes. Here's the question. Do you think that that would transform your marriages? What do you think? I think so, too. I think so. Do you think that that would bring about health in a marriage to share what you're learning from God's word, what God is teaching you? It's easy to talk about schedules. It's easy to talk about kids. It's easy to talk about other people. But when you start talking about what God is doing in your own heart, there is an intimacy that is achieved like no other. That would be my challenge for you guys today. Let's keep it going, though. That would be an application for like the immediate family, okay? But let's think through how you could be fourth soil and a seed sower to people outside your family, okay? I'm going to just push us a little bit, and it might feel a little awkward, okay? So here's the challenge for us this week as sowers, okay? Let's say on Tuesday morning, because Monday is Memorial Day and you won't go back to work, but let's say on Tuesday morning, you're asked, how was your weekend? Do you think that you'll be asked that at some point? Okay, and your response, instead of saying, it was good, how was yours? Your response could look something like this. Might be a little awkward, but that's okay. We're Christians. We can be awkward, okay? It could go like this. You know, it was great. I read this morning in the Psalms that Jesus is the lifter of my head, and he's the shade on my right hand. Isn't that awesome? What do you think that means? Man, I've been thinking about it, and I think it means, I don't know, I just love that. Maybe that would encourage you today. Maybe, right? And you're going to get this look. Ready? And that's okay. What are you doing? You're sowing. You're making the word of God a part of your life, on your speech. You're taking a risk spiritually. You're giving it a shot. You're not waiting for that perfect moment to insert the greatest Bible verse ever according to their need right then. You're just getting up to the plate and you're swinging and trying to connect the bat to the ball. And you're letting God's word work. Conclusion. Two things you gotta ask yourself when you're reading this passage, okay? Number one, you got to ask yourself, am I this soil? Okay? And for this Sunday, you got to say, am I Thorny Thomas? The super straightforward, like my attempts to be crystal clear with a question of, am I like this soil, would be this. Am I choked out with the cares of this world and love for the world that I have no time and affection for God? That would be the question to ask. Am I like Thorny Thomas? That's the first question. Which one of the soils am I? Am I like this one? Do I have patterns in my life? How can I? Very reflective questions. Number two, as a sower, so this is the believer, as a sower, how do I help soils one and two and three and even soil four? If I'm in a field, God's field, in Swahili they say, Shambhala Bwana, in the field of the Lord, how is it going to work out? How do I help all these people? And I would say, and this is just real simplistic, what's the name of the parable again? It's the name, the sower and the seeds. It is our job to sow the seed of God's word. It's not our job to control the responses. And church, you need to know that there will be a sundry of responses in the field of God. As you sow, it won't all come back as the fourth soil. But it's our job to sow the seed. If you're prepping to buy a house, if you're looking to care for your lawn, if you're looking to do spiritual work in the lives of people, Jesus has been gracious and kind to give us a manual, instructions, so that we know what to expect in the field of God. Church of God, so well. Let's pray. So Father, we thank you for this parable, and I pray that it would strengthen this church so much. Lord, would you deepen our roots? Would you take out any of the rocks that are causing it to be hard? Lord, would you help us to respond quickly? Lord, would you help us to hear, to accept, and bear fruit the word of God? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.